Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
And good morning, everybody, across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media Radio app, streaming worldwide. I am Todd Albaugh. It is a Monday, the 21st November, 2022. We welcome you in on another bright Monday here, at least in Madison. Sunny skies right now, chilly this morning. But they say weather forecast warming up as we get through the rest of the week. Perhaps highs near 40 degrees in most of Wisconsin by the time we get into Thanksgiving Thursday. A lot of people traveling this week, so hopefully you can be safe wherever you are going, or perhaps you're just staying at home this week. Whatever your plans are, we hope you enjoy them and do them safely. Todd, with Mr. Zommers, Aaron Zommers, how was your weekend, sir, our producer and engineer?
My weekend was pretty nice. Mostly stayed home, hung out with some friends, and bought some new pants.
Well, that's always good. You know, as we say, well, coffee required here, pants are optional, but I can tell you both Aaron and I are panted up today.
Yeah, pants are optional for listeners. Right. For hosts, it's a little bit different since we are, like, for Todd, it'd be especially interesting because the studio room has a big window across University Avenue.
Right. Exactly. And then I love it. I love to have the windows open. But yes, we are fully pantsed this morning. So where did you go to buy your pants, Aaron?
I went to Kohl's.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah. I just, earlier in this year, sorry to call you out on this, Mom, if you're listening, but we were dealing with a lot of stuff with an estate sale from my grandmother, and our house had a lot of her stuff in it. And I made two piles of clothes, one I was leaving and one I was taking with me. And she accidentally donated the one I was keeping. So I have way fewer options for clothing than I used to. So I had to get some new jeans.
That's tough when you get things thrown out the wrong pile there. Well, I'm glad you had a nice shopping weekend. Yeah, I watched the Badger game on Saturday. The Wisconsin Badgers getting a nice win. It came right down to the wire. Graham Mertz led a fourth quarter comeback for Wisconsin against Nebraska at the Cornhuskers' place in Lincoln. And the Wisconsin Badgers win and become bowl eligible as their sixth win of the year. And it is Axe Week. Big week for Badger football fans as Wisconsin takes on the Minnesota Golden Gophers, or as I like to refer to them as the PJ Flexters. PJ Fleck, of course, dynamic coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and not one of my favorite guys. Pretty, in my opinion, egotistical. But the PJ Flexters come to town to Wisconsin on Saturday. Game time set for 2:30, I believe. And ESPN Disney will determine whether that game is seen on ESPN or ABC. And, of course, on many of our Civic Media stations, you can listen to it right here on Learfield on the Badger Radio Network with Matt LaPay and Mike Lucas. Sometimes if you're home, if you can sync it up, the best way is watch it on TV, turn the volume down, and turn Matt and Mike Lucas on and listen to them. So usually it comes down to, you know, even if the rest of the season isn't that great, and Wisconsin is coming back little by little this year, but if we can at least win back Paul Bunyan's axe against Minnesota, it kind of makes up for everything else in the season. So hopefully we can get it back, because last year Wisconsin lost it at Minnesota, and hope to get the axe back this week. So time will tell. We shall see. But congratulations to the Badgers for getting bowl eligible. The Wisconsin volleyball team gets another win over the weekend. The women's hockey team gets a win as well. So lots of good news from Wisconsin sports, except for, of course, the Packers on Thursday. Not so much. Dallas Cowboys went over to Minnesota. The Vikings were 8-1. And Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys came into Minneapolis and just destroyed the Vikings.
Yay.
Exactly, right? So So yeah, I did that, and then did a little work here over the weekend, work on the show, and also some other things that we're doing here at Civic Media as we continue to expand and do better in our digital offerings and other things. So yeah, it was a nice weekend. Went out to dinner last night with my godson. Took him out to celebrate his new job. He's moving to Seattle next year, or you know, after the first of the year, to a new job. So very proud of him, and. Then came home and chilled out. So yeah, that was a weekend. We have a big show for you today, an important show. When we come back from our break, we'll run down what you need to know, kind of the top stories for the day. And then we're going to take an in-depth look at, I would consider it the top story of the day regarding the nightclub shooting in Colorado Springs over the weekend on Saturday night and a gay nightclub there. A very tragic situation. And this is in a city where many conservative and right-wing religious organizations have set up shop and have put out information that is very anti-gay, that is homophobic, that is transphobic, and they're spreading this out there. And the gunman in the shooting, the alleged gunman who was apprehended over the weekend, he is reportedly, we'll get into this a little bit more, the grandson of a very far-right representative from California. So we will explore that. We will explore this kind of spread of hate over the last few years and where it kind of started. And how can we address this? How can we bring understanding to our communities? I'll be joined at the bottom of the hour by former U.S. Congressman Steve Gunderson, a Republican from Western Wisconsin. And he preceded Ron Kind in the office. We will talk with him at 8:30 and get his views on the shooting. Hang in there, folks. We'll also talk a little soccer and football later on in the broadcast. So stay tuned to that. More with you. After this, you're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on a Monday, the 21st of November, 2022. Beautiful day here in Southwest Wisconsin, or in wherever you're at. Whether you're listening to us in Southwest Wisconsin on WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in beautiful Wausau, or WXCE in Amory, we welcome you in. Thanks for listening to us over the air on terrestrial radio or across the Civic Media Radio Network via the Civic Media app, and you too. Can listen to us on the app. If you can't get us over the air, simply go to your app store and go to Civic Media. Download that. Takes about a minute, maybe less, and it's free. Then go to other stations on the app, and then scroll down to WRCE News in the Center and hit that. And we will come up live on the air. So you can listen to Pat Kreitlow's show, Up North News, before us. And you can listen to Kristen Bry, As Goes Wisconsin, or Luke and Brian on Dueling Tangents. And then, of course, you have Matt Flynn in the afternoon, and followed by the flagship program, Devil's Advocate, from 4 until 6. And then Rick Smith's show later on after that. So a full line of programming for you across the Civic Media Radio Network, and we invite you to enjoy all of it on the Civic Media app. What do you need to know on this Monday to get your week going? As we said before the break, it was a tragic weekend in Colorado Springs at a nightclub there. There was a shooting that left at least 8 people dead and 25 injured. The gunman was subdued by guests and then arrested. He has a history of violence and threats in his past. The gunman was subdued with his own gun. One of the patrons there basically rushed him, took his handgun, and started beating him to subdue him. So that individual, certainly a hero, as police are saying, had it not been for that, several more lives would probably be lost. The alleged gunman is the grandson of an outgoing state assembly person, Randy Vopel, from the 71st District of California in their state house from San Diego area. He has compared January 6th to the Revolutionary War. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. In other sporting news, the World Cup is underway with Team USA playing at 1 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time. They will take on Wales. Get to your favorite establishment, such as Hawks, one of our fine sponsors here at Civic Media. If you live in the Madison area, or go to your local sports pub if you have the opportunity, or perhaps tune in at home online or on your radio. The World Cup is underway. Again, at 1 o'clock, USA plays Wales. And as we mentioned, the Badgers are bowl-bound. It is Axe Week. Game time set for 2:30. And you can listen to it on various stations on the Civic Media Radio Network here on WRCE. I know for sure in Richland Center, we can certainly listen to it there. I want to take a moment to get in. We're going to have former Congressman Steve Gunderson at the bottom of the hour after that break around the 8:30 mark. Steve is a longtime friend of mine. I've known him since he first ran for United States Congress back in 1980. I've told part of this story before. But when I was in fifth grade, first getting into politics and had to do a bulletin board for my school, I went to the county fair, met the local district, our local county chairperson, Carol Clausius at the time. And there was this young guy running for Congress against then Congressman Al Baldus in the third congressional district in western Wisconsin. And Steve was so kind, and he literally got down at my level to say hello to me and shake my hand and thank me for volunteering on his campaign, and he won. He won in 1980. And he went on to have a very meaningful and very impactful career in Congress. He was a leading advocate for dairy reform for the state of Wisconsin and the Midwest. Was the ranking member on the dairy subcommittee on ag and livestock. He also was a ranking member on the education committee and authored a number of bills that helped things like Pell Grants, expand Pell Grants to students across the country, and also non-traditional or older adults going back to college and finishing up their degree. He helped author the Americans with Disabilities Act, which, of course, completely changed America for people with disabilities in wheelchairs or physically bound or people like me has a dyslexia, and created laws so that people have equal opportunities to pursue their lives under the Americans with Disabilities Act. And in 1994, he was outed on the floor of the United States House of Representatives by a guy by the name of Bob Dornan from California. They were discussing an education bill on the floor that Steve had helped author. And another guy got up and offered an amendment that had to do with education loosely, very loosely, and basically prohibiting teachers from talking about gay issues with kids in school. Like if a kid was, you know, questioning their identity and questioning who they are and had just life questions in general, if they would have gone to a high school counselor or a middle school counselor and asked about this under this bill, it could have been prohibited. So Steve got up and very, in a gentlemanesque way, raised legitimate questions to help defeat the amendment. But then after that, Bob Dornan came to the floor and outed Steve on the floor. Many people thought that would be the end of his political career. He represented largely rural Wisconsin on the western part of the state. But to his credit, and to the credit of the job that he had done, Steve went on to win re-election by around 70% in 1994 in the western part of the state, and was the first openly gay congressman, Republican, to be elected in the United States. And it was a huge impact on me because, as I've mentioned in passing on this program, and I don't want to make today about me, that's not it, but I think it's important to know the lens or the view that I come from. As a closeted young gay person in Southwest Wisconsin at the time, it was so cool to have a role model that he had played football in high school. He liked hockey. He was a big Badger fan. He liked politics. He was somebody that I admired who happened to be gay. It wasn't that he had that as his first calling card. But somebody who was in the closet like myself, it said, well, geez, maybe my life could quote-unquote be normal. That, you know, in the 1980s, early 90s, that's what you think. Because it's very difficult growing up in a rural community, belonging to a church and having your faith be very important to you, by having a constant drone that, unless you are straight, the insinuation is there's something wrong with you. And so Steve was someone who has always been a role model to me and has been enormously helpful in setting the standard and the example. So it's a great privilege and honor to have him on the program today. And he's going to talk a little bit. The thing I don't want today is I don't want this to be two gay guys, you know, fighting back and just being nasty and mean to the other side and disrespectful. What, in my experience, and fast forward working for Dale Schultz when he was Senate Majority Leader, when Republicans passed, it was the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. There was essentially to ban same-sex marriage, marriage equality in Wisconsin. And Dale was the Majority Leader and it passed. But it was a very respectful debate. He didn't allow the debate to disintegrate into mean-spiritedness. And then fast forward when I was his chief of staff in the state senate in 2011 when marriage equality went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And during that time, Dale came out with a press release in which he publicly apologized for DOMA and said, you know, like a lot of people, my thinking has evolved. And as we get to know people, we'll understand better. And that's what I think is so important. And that's what I hope the takeaway is this morning about this issue, is that we fear the unknown. When we don't think that we know someone who might be gay, it's easy to make fun. It's easy to say, well, all of these people, quote unquote, are the same and put them in a generalized category. And like anybody, right? Doesn't matter. Packer fans, Badger fans, people who work in schools, cops, teachers, you know, any vocation. There's always going to be a small percentage of quote unquote bad actors who do bad things. Okay? But by and large, once you get to know someone who happens to be gay, and maybe you know them before you know that they're gay, and you're like, well, that's a cool person. And I think that's what happened over the course of Dale's career, not just me, but other people that he knew that were wonderful people. And it's like, well, why shouldn't they have the opportunity to visit their significant other in the hospital if they're ill, which you couldn't do before the Supreme Court case? Why can't people who want to be in loving, monogamous relationships marry, regardless of their sexual orientation, which was prohibited in many cases before the Supreme Court decision? So the key is, if we could get to know each other as people and come together around things, whether it's sports, whether it's our faith, whether it's hunting, and you realize those are the things that we find unique and are binding together. And who you go home to at night or whatever, that's really not that important to your relationship. And so once you understand someone, then it becomes, well, I didn't mean those comments, those derogatory comments about gay people, about them. I like them. I know them. So the key is we need to start understanding one another and listening to each other, realizing those things that are common and that bind us together. So it's going to be an honor to have Steve with us this morning to give us his perspective as someone who grew up in western Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin, in our listening area, of course, just kind of southeast of Amory a ways, south of Eau Claire, a little town called Whitehall near Osseo, Wisconsin, is where he grew up. He is an alum of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, big Badger fan. And then went on to have a congressional career and faced a lot of hate, as it turned out, himself. So he is going to help us to join us at the bottom of the hour here to help understand this and understand how we can move forward together. A couple of minutes here before the break, and actually it's a minute or so, but I want to put it into context as well before we go to break and welcome Steve in. that the alleged shooter in this, there was reporting this morning that the alleged shooter's grandfather is a mega Republican, outgoing state representative from California, who compared January 6th to the Revolutionary War. And just some weird comments, right? He said, quote, "This is Lexington and Concord, first shots fired against tyranny. Tyranny will follow in the aftermath of the Biden swear-in on January 20th. This is the kind of atmosphere that people who are already predisposed to mental illness face. This affects them. We'll talk about all this. We'll get Steve's comments. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She goes, "I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning, good."
You don't wanna ride the bus like this. Never know who to trust like this.
And a pleasant good morning to you once again. It is just after 8:30, 8:32, actually, here in Wisconsin. You are listening to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, whether you are listening on WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, WXCE up in beautiful Amory, or across the world on the Civic Media Radio app. We welcome you in. Before the break, I was talking about a longtime friend and a guy that I supported while he was in Congress, former U.S. Congressman Steve Gunderson, Republican from the beautiful burg of Osseo, who is so kind to join us this morning. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Oh, glad to do it. And it's fun to hear that you've got stations in Amory and Richland Center, because, you know, both of those were in my old congressional district. So I think I've been in both of those radio studios more than once.
You certainly have. No, most of our over-the-air, the terrestrial stations we are on, most of them are in Western or Northern Wisconsin. They cover a lot of your former district. So I think that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you in this morning. As we talked about before the break, you became the first openly gay congressman after being outed by Bob Dornan on the House floor in 1994. I want to read just a couple of passages from your book with your late partner, Rob Morris. The book's called House and Home. I think I've read it three or four times.
Sorry about that.
No, it was great. I mean, I talked about, you know, growing up as a closeted kid in Southwest Wisconsin, you know, even though we knew each other, I mean, I volunteered in your first campaign. You were the first politician that was nice to me when you first ran in 1980. And I probably would never got into politics had it not been for you and your kindness. But, you know, seeing you from afar and having that role model really helped me in my life, and I've appreciated that. But let's go to the book. This is the opening line of Steve and Rob's book, House and Home. He says, "When I went to work on March 24th, 1994, I didn't expect the day to, by the end of the day, I would be outed on the floor of the House of Representatives, and thanks to C-SPAN, on live national television." So there's an education amendment that came up that really had nothing to do with education on the floor. It was kind of a bill designed to prevent schools from even counseling kids that may be gay on the floor. And some very nasty things were said. And you kept your cool. And what I loved about this situation, and why I think it's applicable today, is you got up on the House floor and you started asking pointed questions, such as, "So if a kid comes to a professional counselor and has questions about who they are, this amendment would prohibit that." And the short answer was yes. And so instead of getting back and forth between a personal attack, you nailed this by asking pointed questions that resonated with the majority of your constituents. And at the end of the debate, you say in your book, you said, you said on the House floor, I didn't stop there, quote, "Now I put myself second to none. I continued in advancing Christian values around here, but I'm glad to plead with all my colleagues on this amendment to have the courage of their convictions. As of January of that year, I observed 63,000 Americans between the ages of 20 and 29 had died of AIDS. Quote, I asked my colleagues simply, how many kids do we have to kill before we have the courage to stand up and say it's time to educate them and to do what is right, not what is politically popular at the moment?" As we look at the situation today, Steve, in what happened in Colorado, 5 dead, 25 injured, so much of what we hear today is political vitriol, trying to score points with the right. What are your impressions as someone who went through this personally in 1994, fast forward almost 30 years, and it's still happening today.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad that it is, but it's also reflective of where this nation is right now. We become a polarized nation, and as you become a polarized nation and the polls become in power, the one thing that happens is you get screaming matches, and you get yelling and screaming, which leads to hate, and everybody tries to out-extreme the others on their side of the two extremes. And unfortunately, there's also this feeling today that we're so committed to individual freedom that we suggest that that ought to have dominance over the common good. And that's a real problem. I mean, you cannot take into your own hands society's basic commitments to decency and freedom and respect and the opportunity for everyone to live a life. And when you choose to say, I'm bigger than that and I can take it, that's what anarchy is all about. And that's what we want to stop. And you know, clearly in this country today, we have too much hate. And you talked about my Christian values. And you know, I feel very, very strongly about that, that whatever your faith tradition is, we must find faith traditions that are built on A, love, B, respect, C, decency to each other. And, you know, when you look at that, then you lower the rhetoric, you lower the noise, you lower the yelling and screaming and say, how can we come together and work out these particular issues? And, you know, clearly the majority of America has moved incredibly far on the issues of sexual orientation in this country. We've recognized the science for what it is, but there is unfortunately a minority who says, I still have the opportunity to reject what I don't agree with. And you know what? In a democracy, you don't have that. One of the things that we have to recognize is that even when we don't agree with what the majority is doing, we have to respect that the majority prevails up to that point of basic human rights. And this is protected by the Constitution for everybody, anywhere, at any time.
I said before the break, I worked for Dale Schultz when he was Senate Majority Leader, when Doman was passed here in Wisconsin, the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. I also was his chief of staff in 2011 when he publicly came out and said, you know what, I was wrong on that, and supported marriage equality. And in his letter that he came out with, he said, you know, the more we understand each other, the less fear we have. And I think that so much of that, I mean, you grew up in Whitehall, in the Osseo area, Iron Richland Center, both, you know, kids in rural Wisconsin. You're a football guy. You played football. You loved hockey. You went to broadcasting school. Went to UW Madison. You're an alum. You're a Badger fan. All these things that bind us together, right? What's your take on to knock down some of these walls that you touched on? Isn't a lot of it just getting to understand each other and know each other as actual humans? Because I know people, when I came out, there were people that I kind of thought maybe might react badly, and they didn't. And they're like, well, no, I didn't mean you when I said those things. Because people know you have relationships. But isn't a lot of this about building relationships and just listening and understanding each other?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most important things I probably did in becoming the first openly gay Republican member of Congress on his own without any kind of scandal, et cetera, was that I did become an example for countless young people across this country. I still hear from them. Mm-hmm. I still hear from them today, and they go, you have no idea what your example meant to me and to my parents and my family as we struggled with this issue. And I think we've learned a lot through that process. I think, though, that it goes back to what I said earlier. This society today has to start with the basic concept, basic premise of respect. And if you respect somebody, then you can listen. You don't have to agree, but you can listen. You can have a conversation. You don't have to yell and scream at them. You can have a conversation. And we've lost that respect for people who think differently than us and people who are different than us. And that's a real challenge for us as a society. And, you know, One of the great things about Thanksgiving week is it's that very unique holiday that is both a civil holiday, not a religious holiday, but it connects to the broad faith traditions of this country, of thanks to who? To a God, and a common God, a common superpower, regardless of what your particular individual faith tradition might be.
I want to touch on that for a moment because, you know, I left the Republican Party in 2011. I had my own reasons over voter ID and things that I saw in the state capitol. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you still consider yourself Republican.
Yeah, I've called myself since I first got into politics a Lincoln Republican. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe that. I believe in a strong fiscal policy. I believe in a very strong foreign policy, national defense. I believe in local control. I believe in individual opportunity, not guaranteed outcomes, but individual opportunity. Obviously, there are some things about the party today which I don't agree with. But I also tell people, I said, you know, it's always been my party. I agree with it much more than I do the other party. And I also want to be there when we get through this, past this current process, where we can rebuild a Republican Party in the traditions and the premises that I and so many people were attracted to many years ago.
See, you and Dale Schultz is the same way. He could give the same speech that you just gave or the same comments you just gave, and I admire that. I can't go there myself, and that's fine. But what the difference to me is, Steve, from your book from 1996, when you talk about when Dornan outed you on the House floor, you had several colleagues that got up and spoke on your behalf. You got a standing ovation from the House that night on your behalf to support you. As I apply it today to 2022, besides Liz Cheney and Kitzinger from Illinois, who else would stand up for you in the Republican caucus today?
Well, you know, one of the tragedies of politics, Todd, is that during many of these debates on the House floor, I had fellow Republicans come up to me and say, I want you to know I agree with you, but I can't expend the political capital right now to cast that vote. And that was really disappointing to me, not on a personal basis, but on a political basis, that we had become so dependent on reelection that we were willing to sacrifice integrity for reelection or for political gain. And I think that's, you know, that's been a real disappointment. But I think we can get beyond that. And I remain optimist. I remain an optimist because I believe that there is inherent good in this country. We just need to lower the temperature, lower the rhetoric. And one of the other things we need to understand, Todd, is that today politics is defined by power. I mean, both parties are consumed with spending not millions, but almost billions of dollars to have power, to have control. When I was in office, it was about governing, not about power. And we would have our elections, but once the election was over, we focused on a bipartisan basis to resolve and to govern. And we have to return to that. You may have seen that I, along with Todd and Brian Rood, we issued a joint op-ed before the election talking about governance, in that whether it be a Republican or Democrat, we have to elect people who are willing to govern. Now, the tragedy is that in our polarization, we become straight ticket voters. I could never have been elected if we were straight ticket, because the third district that I represented was a Democrat district, and I needed independents and Democrat to get elected and reelected. Today, the demographics have changed, and it's obviously a pretty safe Republican district. But I still hope that our new congressman will understand the importance of governing and of expanding your base, reaching out to those who didn't vote for you and don't even agree with you.
We have to take a break here. Do you have time to stick around for another 5-10 minutes
sure.
or so? All right. I really appreciate
sure.
it. On the other side of the break, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about how we address some of the hate speeches coming out of places that you and I have come from so-called religious areas that have this hate speech. How do we address that? Because so many people in Western Wisconsin get infiltrated with this. And then how do we move forward in a positive way for kids that are looking for role models, for young people who are looking for role models, for adults who are looking for role models? How do we make this in a positive sense? More of a Congressman, former Congressman Steve Gunderson, a Republican from Western Wisconsin, when we come back. You're listening to the Todd Hallbell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They said, tell us how to make it, cause we're getting real impatient. So I looked them in the eye and said, you don't wanna be high like me. Never really knowing why like me. You don't ever wanna step off that roller coaster and be all alone. And you don't wanna ride the bus like this. Never knowing who to trust like this. You don't wanna be stuck up on that stage singing. Stuck up on that stage singing. Oh, that I know are sad songs. Sad songs.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallbell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is about, we'll call it 8:50 right now. We are talking to former U.S. Congressman Steve Gunderson, Republican of Osseo, Whitehall, to be exact, and had the honor over the years to be at your family farm, your parents' farm out there. It's a beautiful country up in Whitehall, and a great guy. Steve was, you know, I were talking, I mean, so I came out when I was 38, very late, in 2008, and it was actually when I was running for state assembly the second time, my second losing campaign for assembly, and I called Steve. He was so gracious to take my call, and I said, you know, when you grow up as a closeted gay kid in Southwest Wisconsin as a Republican and a Christian and want to run for office on a ticket, the number of people you could call for advice is pretty short and begins and ends with you. And Steve said, well, it's nice to be at the top of somebody's list. So, and you gave me really, really great advice about just being true to myself. And I really, really appreciate that. So thanks for everything you've done for me over the years. I do appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
We're talking a little bit during the break. I'd like to just pick up with that so everyone can hear. But as we look at the situation from a political standpoint, you know, how do we take on this hate speech? How do we take on mostly coming, all coming from Republicans? You can't say there's not a lot of hate speech coming on the Democratic side. But also what really bothers me, Steve, is that you have these kind of so-called, I'm going to put it in quotations, Christian programming. You know, my faith is important to me. I don't profess to be the world's perfect Christian at all. I have a lot of faults of my own. But it's completely counter. If you're actually a Christian, if you've actually studied at all, it's completely counter to Christ's teaching of love and acceptance of each other. And there's just these mean-spirited messages. And Aaron's going to play a quick cut, and I want your reaction to it. This is on a program from last year. It's a right-wing pastor by the name of Andrew Womack. He belongs to the Truth and Liberty group. They're based in Colorado. This is what they said on their television cast.
Homosexuals have like three times as much suicide as heterosexuals, and then you go into transgender and it just continues to go up. It's a very destructive lifestyle.
Yeah. They have a shorter life expectancy.
They have 20 years less that the homosexual lives than a heterosexual, and you know, cigarettes take an average of 7 years off of a person's life. So wow. Homosexuality is three times worse than smoking. We ought to put a label across their forehead. This could be hazardous to your health.
You know,
that is from a so-called Christian broadcast, Truth and Liberty, from Colorado, that is getting disseminated across America. What's your reaction, Steve?
Well, it's a despicable comment, and what he doesn't understand is that the suicide rate is among young people primarily who have been rejected by their parents and their family and too often by their church for simply being who they are. And that's where the suicide comes from. So he and people like him are the real basis for the suicides numbers that he is reflecting and discussing here. So you start with that basic rejection of that kind of thinking. What has to happen here is that mainstream religious organizations have to lift up and stand up above and beyond that. And I don't know that there is a better example than the Mormon Church, which has really, in my opinion, stood up and said, look, we have some basic fundamental religious views, and they don't allow gay marriage, for example, et cetera. But they said, as a civil society, we feel strongly that the gay community ought to have the same civil rights as everybody else. So they separate the religious and the civil. And that's the way I think those elements of the religious spectrum in this country need to understand how they go forward.
I think that's so important to people, for people listening today, to understand. You know, I don't know. I mean, I've read your book, obviously, a couple, three times. My own story, I was very fortunate, and I know that. I didn't lose anybody in my family, immediate family, after I came out. You know, there's no friend, a close friend, that my relationship changed. And I think for so many folks in the closet, that's the fear, right? That's not a fear of being gay. It's that you don't want anything to change. You don't want to lose those relationships with people that you love. I understand that I had a very good experience. That is not the case for a lot of gay folks who lose family, who get ostracized, who get kicked out. And so they find community in gay clubs, in gay bars, with organizations. And there's this perception out there that, oh, drag shows and gay clubs are just orgies all the time. These, for a lot of folks, are their family. And this is what they have to cling to. And if we would have less persecution from religious organizations who don't understand, unlike the Mormons that you said, less persecution from political groups, there'd be less suicides and there'd be more community.
Yes, I think there would be, but I want to also caution here that you said you came out at the age of 38.
Yeah.
I suppose I came out some point around my early to mid-30s, and I want to lift you and I as examples. If we as gay people took 30-some years to accept ourselves, we need to be more patient with the rest of society. And we do that, we succeed, when frankly you and I become the image they see, rather than, as you said, the drag shows and things like that. I mean, so I moved down here because I hate winter. I hate cold weather.
He's in Florida, by the way.
I wasn't at the church that I joined, a really dynamic Lutheran church. I wasn't there for a year as a member before I got elected president of that church. Mm. And I told them, I said, it's too soon. I don't know enough of you. Mm. I don't know the history, et cetera. Why am I lifting this up? Because a Southern church elected an openly gay married guy as their president. And I lift up that example. That's not by accident. Mm-hmm. First of all, they deserve a ton of credit. But also, it was because they looked at me and they said, you are what we need in terms of leadership skills, in terms of governance, et cetera. And I happen to be gay, but that doesn't define me.
Right.
It's only one element of me.
I've often said, it's being gay, you know, it's a part of who I am. It's not who I am. And I think that's so true. We have about a minute and a half left, or a minute, Steve. What would you say to young people today, to community members who are trying to do good? What's the best thing you could do to set good examples?
Oh, the thing I plead with young people who are struggling to be with their own sexual identity, and it goes beyond just being gay, as you and I now know, is, as a young person, get the best education you can, get the best professional skills you can, because you know what? Being gay is not a job. It's not a profession.
Right, exactly.
And it isn't going to get you a good income. Mm. So, don't be so consumed by your gayness that you fail to prepare yourself to be a successful citizen, a good professional in American society. If you do that, then the gay thing will take care of itself.
Great advice. Steve Gunderson, former congressman, thank you very much for joining us. Have a great day. Thanks for making the world a better place.
You're very kind. Thank you, Todd. Take care.
We'll be back after this.